This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
From the creators of Wagertainment.
We bring you none of the hot take BS. We bring you bets. We bring you sports.
I don't care about bragging rights.
It just introduces more volatility into the equation.
I don't care about victory laps.
Stop it. Please stop it. Throw the football into the floor.
The BetQL Network presents your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, Ken Barkley.
If I have an opinion, I'm just going to go put money on that thing happening.
And your host, Nick Kostos.
Every single play of every single game impacts you in some way, shape, or form.
It's You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM.
Yes, indeed, it is You Better You Bet. Nick Kostos, Ken Barkley. That's right, we made it to today. After last night, we're still standing, but barely.
Still alive. I'm sitting, actually, to be fair, but I'm still doing okay.
I felt like Duncan Sheik last night, Ken, at the end of the Carolina game, because I am barely breathing. We'll talk about that game. I haven't felt the way like the Cube Red Hot Chili Peppers, and I don't ever want to feel. I'm trying to think of like, it can't be that long ago. I haven't felt like that after a sporting event. It feels like in a while, like I did when the North Carolina Alabama game ended, just catatonic after that one ended. Anyway, now we're here with you today to talk about it and more on the BetQL Network. Every game here is game seven. No hot take BS on this show. Bets and sports as we come to you live from the Odyssey app. Simulcast by our friends at Stadium from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports, Twitch.tv/BetQL, and heard on radio stations nationwide, including Sirius 160, XM 205. As Ken and I bring you the Wagertainment, we are, in fact, talking all things sports betting. Proudly presented today and always by the king of sportsbooks, the great people over at BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and visit BetMGM.com. And you can do so on an F3, three words that all start with the letter F. Phenomenal tournament Friday. That's right. March 29th in the year of our Lord, 2024. Our show on Twitter, at You Better You Bet. I'm on Twitter and the gram, at The Kostos. Ken Barkley, your favorite handicapper's favorite handicapper, on X, at Lockie Lockerson. And on this phenomenal tournament Friday, we're going to bring you five phenomenal guests. How great is this? The guest list on You Better You Bet has been insane recently. Had our guy Mitch Rosen call me earlier and goes, wow, like Clark Kellogg's coming on the show today. The guests have been amazing. Need a new sizzle reel for the show. And I'm like, yeah, we do. We definitely do. Clark Kellogg, the lead studio analyst for CBS College Hoops coverage. Clark Kellogg will join us coming up in 40 minutes to talk the games coming up tonight, the four games to row, close out the round of 16. And we will look ahead to tomorrow's matchups in the Elite Eight with Clark Kellogg of CBS Sports later this hour. We will also be joined today by our friend Anthony Amico from Establish the Run, one of the best mock drafters out there, one of the best draft bettors out there, just released his second NFL mock draft with tons of actionable betting nuggets. We will mine for all of them with our pal Anthony Amico coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. We'll get soccer bets for the weekend, including a massive matchup in the Premier League with Anthony DeBundo from the Wonder Goal Podcasts. We will get bets for the UFL. as spring football returns to our lives, even though it's like 38 degrees today in New York. I guess it's spring. Joey Knish, baby, will join us. We'll ask Knish about the UFL, and we'll find out whatever the hell else Knish is betting these days. College hoops, baseball, whatever. Knish joins us coming up at 5 o'clock Eastern Time. And then ESPN Bet Live, studio host and analyst. ESPN College Hoops, studio host and analyst. And SiriusXM College Sports Radio host, Dallin Cuff, joins us to start the Power Hour today. His favorite bets for tonight in the round of 16, favorite bets for tomorrow in the two games we know about in the Elite Eight. Plus, badass basketball betting breakdown from last night is on the way, a.k.a. how devastated were we last night at the conclusion of some of these sporting events. We will talk about it. I mean, really, we'll talk about it momentarily. We'll also give you all the line movement your little heart could ever desire for all four of tonight's games in the round of 16, Marquette, NC State, Purdue Gonzaga, Duke Houston, and Tennessee and Creighton. Ken and I will do our like yearly segments on the show, which I always love, which is spring football's about to start. Here are the eight teams. Here's the head coach. Here's the quarterback depth chart. And then we will try and guess the opening spreads of the games based off this rudimentary information. Usually, I think we're usually able to do pretty well with this, and the segment's very entertaining to me, at least. So we will talk some UFL. I don't even know what UFL stands for. Ultimate Football League? I'm not sure what the United? U stands for. United? Yeah, I guess United.
Because it's the two leagues put together.
Yeah, whatever. I think Ultimate's better. UFL coming up later in the show. I'll ask Ken Barkley about the NBA Eastern Conference, where Milwaukee and Boston have both lost two straight games. How about the Celtics losing again last night to the Atlanta Hawks? We will talk NBA Eastern Conference futures. Is it worth betting on my Knicks? Maybe the Cavs if Donovan Mitchell's going to be back soon. Or maybe another team. Or maybe it's still just Boston or Milwaukee. Perhaps it's Philadelphia. Nick Nurse saying Joel Embiid likely back before the end of the regular season. We'll discuss a little later in the show, and we will give you our bets for tonight in the final hour, the power hour of the program. We are locked and loaded here. It is a phenomenal tournament Friday. Is it? Ken Barkley, how's it going?
I mean, it's phenomenal in that I can't wait for the games tonight. That's phenomenal. I'm really excited again. Like, I was just as excited as I was yesterday. I think these four games are awesome. All four favorites are getting bet again. What could go wrong? Like, just really interesting stuff. Yeah, where do you want to start? I mean, Carolina, Alabama was, I described it to you on text last night as a torture chamber of a game, no matter what you bet. And I know you liked Carolina more than I did, but we both bet them in the game. And, you know, you said you didn't know, like, what it, you know, you hadn't felt that way in a certain amount of time. Maybe it was NFL regular season. Maybe it was a big playoff game. You know what it actually made me, and I grew up a Carolina fan. My family who went there, you know, I'm not a fan of anything anymore. I just bet on stuff. But I will say, watching just the second half of that game last night, it like made me feel like a fan again. Like every possession, you're just like wholly invested. You're like hyper analyzing everything, like the rotations that Hubert Davis is playing, like choice to go big in the last few minutes of the game with Withers, who ends up making like the two plays that decide the game, and they're both negative. Every bounce of the ball, every free RJ Davis goes to the line, every free throw, when he was great at the line, it was terrible everywhere else, but he was great at the foul line. And just just that possession by possession gut wrench, like that's, it reminded me of being a fan again, honestly. Like, I grew up a Boston sports fan before they won everything, and I grew up a Carolina Tar Heels fan because my family went there, and it reminded me of the big games in those sports where you're just living and dying with everything. And I'm with you. I haven't felt like that in a while.
And the difference, though, is like, I remember, you know, the worst loss of my fandom in my sports career. People will be surprised by this. I'm a Yankees fan. They've lost in the World Series. I'm a Knicks fan, lost in the NBA Finals. The Giants are my favorite team. And on January 4th, 2003, the Giants led in San Francisco.
You say this all the time. I remember 14. This game so well. I didn't cheer for either team, didn't bet the game. I remember everything about this game. I remember where I was. It's ridiculous. Yep.
And like this was, I started betting in fall 2004. So this is January 2003. So I had not started betting yet. Wasn't even on my radar yet. But like a diehard, like stupid, honestly, like Giants fan to the point where like I would like cry after tough losses. Like way too invested, honestly. I guess if like you're a fan and that's how you feel, like it's great. Like I kind of like miss that level of fandom a little bit. So they're up 38-14, lose 39-38, like the worst fashion possible. Steve Mariucci goes after the game on a penalty that should have been called when Cheek Aoki for Rock Bottom's Rich Seibert gives him literally like the Rock Bottom no call. Yep. Steve Mariucci goes, oh, well. And I like threw it like a sneaker at my television and like I'd yelled at by my mom. So like in the aftermath of that, which featured me sitting alone in a dark room, like my bedroom, and like literally crying for like 2 hours after the I'm like 20 years old when this happened. At least I didn't lose any money. Like last night I lost money on all this on North Carolina. It was, and it's not just the money bet on North Carolina, futures bets. How about like not just like brackets that I filled out. I fill out brackets for family members. We took Carolina in all these brackets, a Carolina to win. Just like waking up this morning to text from like my sister, like what happened to Carolina. And it's just like in the wreckage of all of this, all the money lost, the brackets busted, everything. God almighty. After this game last night, I couldn't sleep. I describe this phenomenon sometimes. We didn't have to do this last night, right? Because, you know, I say this sometimes, Ken, Sunday Night Football, right? Where a game will end, NFL, like the end of Sunday Night game on NBC, and it will not go my way, and I just, like, won't change the channel.
I'll just keep it on.
Yeah, and the local news will start. Now, we didn't have to do that because Illinois-Iowa State was going on. So I would just flip to Illinois and Iowa State, and I would just watch the end of that game. So I didn't have quite the same experience. I couldn't stop thinking about the North Carolina loss. I sat there on the couch. I won my bet on Illinois, which was awesome. Couldn't enjoy it. Like, didn't bring myself to enjoy it because I was devastated by North Carolina. Went upstairs and, like, got in bed. My wife's like, how'd it go? I'm just like, terrible. Just
terrible.
Like curl into the fetal position. I think I got into bed at like 12:50 maybe a.m. Eastern time. I didn't fall asleep until like 3:30. Ken, I literally could not stop thinking about North Carolina and this loss to Alabama, and the way it happened was absolutely excruciating.
Sure. I mean, you had back-to-back games like that. I think, you know, most people listening can appreciate this because like we all filled out a bracket. Like I have mine next to me and I had it next to me rather. And I think almost everybody had some form of Carolina, Arizona, or if we had one of those teams getting bounced earlier in the tournament, you had the other one probably winning the region. Like those were the most popular bets by far. The market reflected those were the two most likely teams. So to have them both upended in the same night in a really jarring fashion against two teams that like we were pretty against was crazy. Like it was a really, on the one hand, like it was brutal. Like I lost my, like I had Arizona to win the title. I had now like I'm UConn or bust now. And they're
same.
You could go to war with worse teams, by the way, than UConn or bust in the NCAA tournament. They seem unstoppable. We'll see if Illinois can stop them. That game's actually really interesting. But you know, I bet two teams to win the title before. One of them got eliminated last night. Brackets crushed. Region bets, see ya, and bet some exact title matchups just for a couple bucks for fun because they opened a couple days ago at Circa. And I was like, yeah, I'll put in some like Carolina against random teams on the right. I didn't have like a lot of Carolina at all to do anything in the tournament. They were looking really good. And I was like, I gotta want a little bit of Carolina here in case this gets crazy, in case they play UConn and win. So I had Carolina against, you know, Creighton and some of the other teams on the other side at like 200-1. Those, I mean, like I got zero games of equity out of those. And yeah, you're looking at the wreckage and it was just, so on the one hand, it's like, wow, that's all really bad stuff. And on the other hand, it's like, yeah, but it's like, that's why the tournament's our favorite thing, because you just, every time you think you got it totally nailed, you don't. And even when you get it totally nailed, the next year, you definitely don't have it totally nailed. Like it never fits perfect. And you do the best you can. You make the best decisions you can with the information you have, but it's never a perfect fit. And I think there are a bunch of interesting things about the games last night that set that up. Like for this weekend, like we'll, and we can talk about this in the next segment, we'll have a paper tiger, at least one in the Final Four for the second consecutive year. We'll have two of them playing in a regional final. Like we can talk about in the next segment, is it worth reassessing the value of that title? And what does that mean? Like what's happening? Something doesn't happen for 25 years. Now it's happening back to back. If three of them in the Elite Eight, really, I mean, Kentucky is out. All the rest of them are really good. Clemson looks great when you watch them play. So it's really, really, really interesting how last night unfolded and what happened. And then the funny thing about it is the flip side of that coin is just like, oh, what's going on in UConn? Oh, up 35. Okay.
Yeah,
no problem. I guess it's just the other game. And Illinois-Iowa State kind of existed on its own island. Just it felt less impactful than the other results.
Yeah, that's Montezuma's revenge for San Diego State. Well, Montezuma came back, and then UConn killed him again and put him back in the ground, and that was it for Montezuma. Yeah. And he won't be showing his face for a while. And I'm going to ask a question, and like the answer is no, obviously. It obviously is no. Just like, can they ever just be normal? Can it just be like a normal loss? Does it have to be like this? Does it have to go down like that?
Yeah. Both those games. What did Arizona shoot from three? What was Carolina's final 8 minutes like?
Are we sure that this dude, Tommy Lloyd, that there's brain activity? That like something's going on up there?
What Caleb
are
Love?
We? Are we sure?
He's a college player. Like, I mean, come
I'll
on,
say you know? I'll say this though, and like I think about this quote a lot. They're just kids. And yeah, like they're kids. Also, like they also cost me a lot of money, so screw them. Like, is it more Caleb Love's fault or is it more like the adult's fault? Like the guy that's getting paid millions of dollars to coach the team. I mean, Ken, I had like friends texting me this morning, like nothing to do with betting, just like sports fans. Wanting to hashtag talk sports. And they're all saying, can you believe that Arizona didn't foul at the end down by three? Like Moses, the Red Sea parts. And Arizona's the literal Red Sea because they're wearing red. They part. And Clemson just goes down. They foul the guy in for a three-point play down by three. It's like, okay, guys,
play number
you got time.
70 in a row. How about like in the offseason, Tommy Lloyd signed an extension this year, by the way, so he's going to be the coach at Arizona for a while unless they buy him out for $1 billion. Can we work on defending the inbounds play a little bit? How many three wide open dunks in the final like 6 minutes? I mean, God, like Brad Brownell's probably a really good coach. I know a bunch of people were tweeting about what a great job he was doing. I mean, what is this? Brad Stevens out of timeout plays or something? Like, I mean, this guy is unbelievable.
Like, is Brad Brownell really going to coach the Celtics next year when they lose in the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Maybe. Depends on how many more times Missoula loses like a 20-point favorite.
I mean, like, I'm done with Tommy Lloyd. Like, get me to next year, and let me get to fade this guy in a big game.
What were you yelling last night?
Lloyd! Coming up next, we have, I haven't even gotten effing started yet.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
What a night last night in the world of college basketball. Could have gone better for us here on You Better You Bet.
This song wasn't Clark. Playing.
No.
At no point was this song playing the entire night. Yeah.
We will talk to our... I don't even know if it was like as dignified as that. Might have just been like thud.
Didn't feel dignified. So I was like sprawled on my couch in pajamas at 1 a.m. being like, oh, cool. This is like 3 hours later than I ever go to bed now because I have kids that wake me up at 6 a.m. This is delightful. And by the way, I'm also wired and I can't go to bed also because these games were completely ridiculous. I mean, great games. Like, can't underscore. Like, yes, we lost. Yes, this sucks. Great games, like really compelling stuff, and we hadn't really had that the first couple of rounds.
And we'll talk about the games from last night, the games coming up tonight, tomorrow's Elite Eight games that we know about with our friend Clark Kellogg from CBS Sports coming up in 20 minutes. We look forward to that. We got a great show planned for everybody today. But before we have some fun, we must reflect further upon the misery from last night, mainly at the hands of the North Carolina Tar Heels, where, you know, like I think I went to the last break and to the first segment of the show saying, like, why can't it just be normal? Like, why can't the loss happen in, like, a normal fashion? Why does it have to happen like this? Why does it have to happen like the way it did last night? Now, I understand, right? They're just kids. I get it. Like, they're just kids. These are, like, college kids, but also, like, they're all getting paid, right? Like, they're all getting paid. Like, we're in North Carolina, like... I don't know. Yeah. If you're playing at the end of the Sweet 16 game, probably you're getting some kind of money, I'm guessing.
God Weathers bless getting Morton. Paid? Yeah.
He shouldn't be if he is. I'll say that about Weathers. No, Bill's
son.
Shout out Bill Weathers, great jazz musician.
Yes.
But you got RJ Davis, who decides, you know, I don't know if, like, he knows that Caleb Love lost, and now he's like, you know what, I'm going to put on a show now. I have no idea if, like, this is in his thought process at all. But, like, RJ Davis deciding to, like, to turn the final minutes of a Sweet 16 game, a tight game, not blowout, tight game, nip and tuck, deciding to turn it into, like, his own version of, like, an N1 mixtape, which just features him dribbling around through and out of the lane as if it's 1-on-5. Chucking up terrible three-pointers that would probably make Caleb Love blush. Maybe not. Caleb Love was probably worse. RJ Davis, absolutely brutal. And, like, Jalen Withers, who I'm sure is a very nice young man and probably, like, had, like, a terrible night last night, I'm sure. Because, like, how could you not watch the game and be like, what the hell's this kid doing? How could that not be what you're thinking? Hey, gets the ball. Alabama had less interest in covering this guy than anyone has any interest in doing anything. Gets the ball down at the three-point line. Alabama knows that this dude couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Literally, it's like he gets the ball and everyone in Alabama's like, okay, let's go somewhere else. Let's leave this dude out there. Surely he's not going to take a three-pointer, right? Wrong. He decides, you know what? F it. It's my time to shine. I'm 7'8". I made like one three-pointer in my college career, but in the most important moment of the season, I'm chucking one up. Here you go. Brick. What a surprise. And then down at the other end, so misses the three-pointer where it's the ball's in the air and you're just like, oh my God. It's like I can see all my money evaporating. I can see the brackets like bursting into flames. It's all terrible at this point as the ball's in the air. And then on the next defensive possession, this guy, Grant Nelson, who looks like Nikola Jokic, if Nikola Jokic was like truck stop serial killer, like fouls him as he goes up for a three-point play. What are we?
Played great in the game, too.
He was
unbelievable.
Awesome. He was great. That's like a March legend now. Like, they win, and he's great to go to the Final Four. Like, Grant Nelson's a March legend with the stupid mustache. A great player. Great game last night. Like, 20 over 20 points, over 10 boards, 5 blocks. He was unbelievable. The best player in the game, period, for either team. He was great. Also, Armando Bacot missed a dunk. Great. Glad you stayed at North Carolina for 7 years to have everything culminate in that moment. Missing a dunk to cost us our money. And it sends you out of the tournament. Just, I don't even like, how does this happen? Like, how did North Carolina lose this game? How did it happen? These are the things I ask myself. When I'm up last night at 2:45 in the morning, I'm not thinking, man, I'm about to be a father. How's this going to go? How's my life going to change? I'm to get up in the middle of the night every couple hours to feed this kid. How's this going to like, how am I going to do this? I'll figure out how am I going to, no. I'm thinking about what was Jalen Withers thinking when he decided to shoot that three-pointer? Why didn't RJ Davis pass the ball?
Yeah.
Why Armando Bacot probably has like 55,000 dunks in his college career and in the 9 years that he spent in North Carolina. Why couldn't he dunk that one? What happens? Man, it's bad as it gets.
Yeah, I was trying to think about what Bill Withers song made the most sense. It's like, ain't no sunshine when he shoots.
Oh, who am I thinking of? I think I'm thinking of Bill Evans. Bill Withers, of course, is someone. Yeah.
Great songwriter. Lovely day. Like a legendary songwriter. Yeah, I think passed away a couple of years ago, maybe.
You were at my wedding. My wife and I came out to Lovely Day at my wedding.
Yeah, Lovely Day, which is like a 10 out of 10. So, as one of many 10 out of 10 songs that he has. Yeah, I mean, it's really...
When the result of the hoops game seems impossible to face.
Yeah, today it wasn't a lovely day. Well, okay, wasn't not so much. Yeah, I just
it's like the account balance. Then I look at you.
Yeah, right. That's all.
And the world's all terrible.
Oh man. Need that Venmo name. Venmo name. Is it a hyphen? Venmo name.
Then I'll send that check. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, so
my bank wants to make sure it's all right with me. Yeah, you know, Venmo name. Yeah, that's a new song. Yeah, by Jalen Withers.
Venmo name.
Are there characters? What's the image? Venmo name. It's me with my dog.
Then I click accept.
That's what it was. That was more Arizona for me, to be honest. I don't really lose a lot of money on Carolina. Arizona was rough too. And then the best part is, again, like two crazy games. Illinois Iowa State was like a really, really fun game to watch too. You felt, because Carolina ends and kind of the wreckage, you're like, well, let me put the other game on. And, or, you know, if you have two screens going, you're like, let me just watch the end of the last game. I mean, I bet Iowa State just because I wanted to go against you for a couple bucks because I thought it'd be fun. And the entire second half, I'm just going, oh my God, I think Illinois is going to lose this game. And I can't believe they're going to lose this game. They're so much better than Iowa State. How are they going to lose this game? But I think they are. I think they're going to find a way to do it. And
they tried.
Just enough plays to make it, you know, a steal and dunk at the end of the game. Obviously, like one of the plays of the game, Shannon comes back in with foul trouble and makes a couple big plays. Like they got just enough. They were just smart enough to not blow the game, basically. And that sets up a game with the game we spent no time talking about, which is, you know, the team that's going to win the NCAA tournament, who wins every game by 900. And they'll play Illinois next, which is like actually an awesome game. And thank God that game's awesome, because the other regional final you could have, like, I'll be whatever. I'm going to find something. I'll read a book during that game or whatever. Alabama-Clemson, let me know who wins to go to the Final Four and lose to UConn, probably. And maybe Illinois can win, like maybe lose to Illinois. But that's kind of that's the way that sets up right now. And depending on the results tonight, I mean, we could be in a situation where, like, let's say Houston loses to Duke or Purdue loses to Gonzaga tonight or something like that. UConn's going to be a minus to win the title with the Elite Eight round still to play, three down, three to go. What are they? Like minus 150. I mean, sheesh, like you'd be hard pressed to remember a tournament that fits that in modern times, that fits that description, where the distance between them and everybody else is so massive and all the roadblocks to them winning are just being removed one by one before they even get to the games, basically, where it's like, oh, well, who would they get in the Final Four now? I don't know what team they'd be a 17 point favorite over, probably something like that. I mean, just what are these numbers going to be? Alabama wouldn't be that big, obviously, but just you get the idea. It's setting up that way, which Doesn't mean they can't lose. Just how's it going to happen? Maybe it's Illinois tomorrow. Maybe it's I don't think it's ever the Final Four game. I think the winner of Illinois UConn beats the next team. But we've been wrong about Alabama and Clemson a couple times. We could be wrong again. We could be wrong again after that.
You better you bet with Nick and Ken here on a Friday, lamenting Thursday night's results in the NCAA tournament, spinning it forward. There's like a lot of different things we can do here. We'll do it move for tonight later in the show. There's a lot of topics we can do. I kind of want to bring this up, though. And I was thinking about this last night. I was thinking about a lot last night, just pondering life, finances, bets. UConn wins the national title, and maybe they don't like win every game by 30, but they win comfortably, let's say. Let's say they beat Illinois by 60. Even if they don't cover the spread, they win the game. They might
win Final Four Saturday by 30. Yeah.
Right. Is this the best college basketball run ever?
So, I mean, what's it alongside, right? It's alongside Florida. It's alongside, like the Duke two-year run where they won once, right?
Yep. And lost to UNLV.
Is that 90-91?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the Villanova titles were set. They had a year in between, right? So it's like that's kind of a little bit different, and the players changed over. Like, Jay Wright was obviously still the coach, but I think about that sometimes, like winning those two titles with just – and this team feels sometimes like those teams where it's just like the balance in scoring. I mean, Jalen Brunson, the point guard for one of the teams, obviously now on the Knicks, like that was the most efficient offense in the history of college basketball that season. And I think the game has changed a little bit since then. I think a couple other teams have come close to that, but like – you just felt watching the games like everybody can have a million points and it makes perfect sense. And when you watch UConn, it's the same. What's the name of the guy off the bench who had like 20 in the first half last night? The white guard who's like awesome. Who's like, and I just say that to describe him because it makes it easier for people to figure out who I'm talking about.
I'm going to get this wrong. Not Caravan. Well, somebody else, right?
No. Yeah. I know who Caravan is. I actually know who Caravan is. I promise. But just the idea of like, you know, there's so many ways.
I'm getting my white players confused on UConn. Spencer.
Yeah. What's his first name?
Cam.
Jake Spencer. Cam Spencer. Jake Hassan, is that his name?
Jake Spencer.
It's happened to be a great name. It's just you just watch the games and like anybody goes off and you're like, well, yeah, they're good enough. They can do that. Like, that's not out of character for that. And there's like nine of those players for them. Hurley gives like great post-game interviews too. He's like extremely confident, but it's like a good interview. And it's like, it's just everything about him is just there's A++++. So I don't know. Like we can do like the full kind of game previews and stuff. We can do a lot of this tomorrow morning also. I'll be interested to see what Illinois can challenge them with. Like, because it is funny, I don't think I'm going to bet Illinois in the game. I think I've learned my lesson, and just like maybe UConn wins by a lot, maybe they don't. But you go through the run. So last year, yeah, let's see if I can get this right. Like first couple rounds, very little tests, right? So first round game was against Iona, right? If
against
I remember
Patino,
correctly,
yeah, something like that. I bet Iona Patino in that game to cover.
Right.
Yeah, it's like
by
insane.
A lot.
Yeah.
Beat St. Mary's in the second round. Then beat Arkansas, then the
After
regional
Arkansas
final.
Beat Kansas, right?
Regional final was against Gonzaga.
Yep.
Then Final Four against Miami, and then title game against San Diego State.
Yep.
This year, first round game against who was the Stetson? Was that the 16?
Stetson, the Hatters.
And then
yep.
8-9 was the Northwestern game, and then the game last night. Is Illinois better than all those teams? They better than Arkansas? They better than Gonzaga?
Yep.
Maybe those two teams. That'd be the conversation. Are they better than Gonzaga and Arkansas?
That Gonzaga team was really good.
Pretty good.
That was a really good Gonzaga team.
Yeah.
Had Strother, like, plays for the Nuggets sometimes.
Yeah. Maybe. I was thinking about this last night where I go, like, is Illinois' ceiling better than the ceilings of all the teams that they played in the 2 years? And does that mean that there's at least some chance that this is an interesting game? That's where we're at now with this team. Is there some chance it's an interesting game? That's like what we're...
But let me frame the question like this. If UConn gives you a C game and Illinois gives an A game, does Illinois win outright?
I don't even know. Maybe. Like, Shannon has 40...
Honestly, like,
plays,
I think
the mask plays really well. Yeah.
Yeah. Danger.
Yeah. Yeah. Mystical. Nice. Yeah. And one thing I'll be curious real quick. I wonder if the commentators couldn't believe they didn't foul him last. Iowa State didn't foul him a bunch last night because he's like a 40% free throw shooter. I wonder if Hurley's watching that game being like, oh, cool. All right, we'll just do the hack of danger. We'll see what happens.
Well, I think it's like TJ Otzelberger, like the circulation to his brain was cut off by this medium shirt that he's wearing to show off his gun. So, yeah, I think that was the problem last night. On the other side, talking NCAA tournament with the great Clark Kellogg from CBS Sports.
And that'll do it. This one's over. Connecticut is going to the Elite Eight. And the largest margin of victory in the Sweet 16 since 2017, when Kansas beat Purdue by 32. We did that game.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, brought to you by BetMGM with Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on the BetQL Network.
The great Kevin Harlan and his crew on the call last night. Love Kevin Harlan. Always got to throws in the little piece of information at the end. He's the absolute best. They had the call last night on TBS as Connecticut destroys San Diego State, as Connecticut seems to be wont to do in all these games that they play in the NCAA tournament, as the Huskies look to make it back-to-back national championships. The great Clark Kellogg from CBS Sports is going to join us in just a moment here on the show, but we got a great, you know, 3+ hours coming up here on this phenomenal Tournament Friday. Anthony Amico talking NFL draft in 20 minutes. Anthony DeBundo will give us soccer bets for the weekend next hour. Joey Kanish in hour number 3. Dallin Cuff from ESPN in the final hour of the show. And all our bets and analysis for tonight's games coming up in the final hour, the Power Hour. But joining us right now to talk the NCAA tournament, what we saw last night, talk about tonight. And can Illinois give UConn a game coming up tomorrow? It is an honor and a pleasure for us to welcome to the show the lead studio analyst for CBS College Hoops for the NCAA tournament. This is a true story. I'm not just saying this because we're going to have Clark Kellogg on the show on Twitter at Clark Kellogg CBS. I think I texted Ken. I think it was you and Tyler like a week ago, like during like one of the sets of games. Like Clark Kellogg's like the best like studio analyst like ever, basically. The guy's like unbelievable, does a great job. And he's, you know, flanked by a couple other like legendary analysts as well. And I think he does an awesome job, and it's great to have him here on the show. Clark, we really appreciate the time on a Friday. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley, how's it going?
I'm terrific, Nick. Appreciate the warm welcome. Great to be with you guys on this Good Friday and Sweet 16 Friday. And very much looking forward to the four games today.
And Clark, a few really interesting results last night. I want to just ask you about Connecticut real quick, just because they're on this incredible 2-year run, obviously seem like a very big favorite to win the national championship again this year. And I know that in any game, like any team has a chance to win, put any two teams in a game, like any team can win, obviously. But as you look at kind of how the path shapes up, maybe it's Illinois tomorrow. Maybe it's Clemson or Alabama coming up in the Final Four. Maybe it's a team on the other side that they play in the championship game. Is there a team or two out there that you think, like, they play their A game, they can beat UConn?
Yeah, I think the team they've got to face tomorrow could do it. I mean, Illinois has played at a really high level. And one of the things you have to be able to do, I think, to give yourself a chance against UConn is you've got to be able to sustain high-level play, particularly at the offensive end, guys. I just don't think you can afford lulls in your scoring and still have a chance to beat them. You've got to be able to apply some offensive pressure and sustain contact. They basically are without much of a weakness. They're big, they're athletic, they've got size on the perimeter, they defend at a high level, they're extremely well connected and committed to this goal and quest of winning back-to-back titles. I've loved the way Danny Hurley has kind of kept that out in front of this team. They've scratched their goals off one by one, Big East regular season championship, Big East tournament championship, continued domination in this tournament as they play to their standard, which is efficient, effective, and has mauled the opposition in the last 9 tournament games that they've played. All of that said, teams that can score and that can also compete on the glass will have a chance to put some game pressure on UConn. Illinois is in that category. I think the winner of the Purdue-Gonzaga game would be in that category. those teams would stand out amongst those left with a chance to possibly do that. Alabama, because they've shown better defensive prowess here in the tournament in the last three games, we know they can score. So those are the kind you have to be able to sustain offensive efficiency, because usually what happens with UConn, and it's happened from the start of games, they step on your neck and don't let you up. And if you can get through every four-minute segment and somehow get to the last four-minute segment, maybe the last two four-minute segments in the game, and be right there, then I think you've got a chance to see how they might respond to some uncomfortable pressure. But they've not had any of that at all. I think the most they've been threatened maybe is early in a second half where they were down. But otherwise, they've just been simply methodically mashing people.
And Clark, we were talking about this before you came on. Like, if Illinois plays its A game and Connecticut plays like a C game, can Illinois win? And I think the answer to that question is yes, but you kind of need Connecticut like to not play its A game, I think, in order to entertain an upset. So I agree with everything you just said. But with that being said, Clark, do you think it's going to be a close game tomorrow with Illinois and UConn, or is this like another sunset Illinois with UConn wins by double digits?
No, I think Illinois can actually push them harder than they've been pushed. Now, you've got to play well. You can't expect them or hope that they're going to be in the C area. I've not seen anything close to that. It could happen in a 140-minute segment, but I think you have to prepare for UConn to be – its basement is probably a B-level game. That would be its basement in my mind. I just have – I mean, because they're just so versatile. They don't have to – they can play fast. They can play slow. They don't have to rely on threes. They get, I mean, there's just not much where you can say, hey, if they're not doing this, but they, because they do everything well, and everything's not going to go awry, you wouldn't think, in a game with the team that's this connected, this focused. Foul trouble to the big guy, maybe an issue, but I just don't see them helping you beat them. I think you're going to have to beat them, and that's going to be a tall task.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. And Clark, I think, you know, we were all filling out our brackets a couple weeks ago, right? I think we all probably had UConn, maybe even UConn and Illinois playing in the Elite Eight. You go down to the West region, like who would play the winner of the UConn-Illinois game? I don't think a lot of people probably had Alabama and Clemson probably playing in the regional final. A lot of us had North Carolina or Arizona, one of the big teams. They both lose last night in pretty stunning fashion that they both lose in the same game. And we're left with this really fascinating, weird, unexpected regional final between Clemson and Alabama, a small point spread. So the betting market thinks kind of a toss-up. Nick and I talked about the game a little bit. It seems maybe like a kind of a toss-up game. Not sure what to expect. What do you expect when Clemson and Alabama play, again, with a trip to the Final Four on the line? Pretty crazy.
I think it's a pick'em game. I really do. I mean, these teams played earlier in the year, and Clemson got them. That was a long time ago. But that was the beginning of me being really impressed with Clemson, because they knocked off some top-notch teams in their pre-conference schedule, went a little sideways for a few weeks and then found their rhythm and returned to form here in the tournament. But they're methodically balanced. They don't make a lot of mistakes. I'm talking about Clemson. They score enough. Their big guys are skilled and versatile. Their guards have been, other than Gerard, who's really kind of fallen off his regular season numbers, but Chase Hunter has stepped up in a big way. Contributions from the bench. I mean, Clemson's very sound, very solid, takes care of it, can score from the three-point line, and those big guys are tough matchups. Shefflin and P.J. Hall, you know, they can make shots, they can make plays, they're fairly rugged. I mean, they're a really good team. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a pick'em game, and Alabama has been really better defensively in the tournament than they've shown all year, and that's part of why they're going to play for a chance to get to the Final Four.
You better you bet here on a Friday. Nick Costos and Ken Barkley here with you. Our guest is Clark Kellogg, the lead studio analyst for our friends at CBS Sports for college basketball. He is on Twitter at Clark Kellogg CBS. Clark, we only have a couple of minutes left here. We'd love to get a thought from you on the 2-1 seeds playing tonight. And which one do you think has a better chance of being upset? Purdue against Gonzaga, and just for reference, Purdue about a 5.5-point favorite in the game, or Houston against Duke, Houston about a 4-point favorite, Clark, against Duke. So Houston or Purdue, which one has a better chance, you think, of going down tonight?
I would give the nod to Houston, only if Duke can show us what they showed us against James Madison in terms of competitive grit. they took the fight right to the Dukes and took the Dukes out of the game pretty early. And they're going to need that kind of effort and maybe 15 to 20% more of that against the Houston team, whose MO and ID is grit and toughness and relentless pressure on the glass, defensively, and the like. If Duke is able to match that, I think the personnel matches up pretty well. The perimeter is strong with Roach and McCain. Certainly Filipowski is capable. So it's going to be a matter of will and tenacity and fight from the start. And if Duke shows me that in the first couple of four-minute segments, then I think they might have a chance to shock folks. Purdue and Gonzaga should be a terrific game. I still like the Boilers because of what they've built around Zach Eadie.
Clark, let's close with this in about 30 seconds. Who do you like to win tonight between Tennessee and Creighton, the 2-3 matchup in the Midwest? Winner of that game would play the winner of Purdue and Gonzaga. You like Purdue in that particular game?
I like Creighton. I just think offensively they've got a little more consistent firepower. Tennessee has shown flashes. Dalton Connect has been brilliant. But there have been games where Dalton Connect has been a solo pilot in terms of offensive production. If Vescovi, Ziegler, Jordan James, if those guys aren't able to complement, connect, I like Creighton's overall offensive versatility. Both teams are solid defensively.
Final question for you, Clark. It seems like, watching you guys on television, that you're having an absolute blast talking about these games with the crew. Are you having as much fun as it looks like you're having when we watch you on TV for about 30 seconds to close?
It is live and real, all of it. Every element of our joy, appreciation, fun, enthusiasm, it's all real. You can't fabricate any of that. We get a chance to be part of one of the greatest sporting events on the calendar. We love what we get to do and enjoy being with each other as we do it. It would be the same way if you just helicoptered in, Nick and Ken, and hung out with us while we're watching the games. That's exactly how we roll.
And like, it's the analysis and the humor and all of it put together. And I would say this, Clark, even if you weren't here, I would say this on the show, off the air, you guys really do an outstanding job. And I know you're proud of it, and you really should be, of the work that you guys do. On Twitter, at Clark Kellogg CBS, we can't wait to watch you guys coming up tonight. Have great broadcasts this weekend. Enjoy the games, and we hope to catch up in the future.
Very good. Thank you, guys. Appreciate hanging out with you, Nick and Ken. Enjoy Good Friday and the Friday Sweet 16 matchups.
To you as well. To you as well. That's a great spot with our friend. He is our friend now, I think, with our friend Clark Kellogg. Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up on the other side. We'll get back to the NCAA tournament as we move along, but we'll turn our attention to the NFL draft coming up next with our pal, Anthony Amico.